You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
This is the No Doubt About It podcast.
No Doubt About It.
And now your hosts, Christy and Mark Runcady.
Wildfire, you can't catch us.
It's a four cough drop kind of show today. This seasonal allergy thing, I can hardly speak anymore without coughing. So I'm going to try my best not to cough.
But, you know, I do feel bad because I am over your coughing.
I know. You want to snuff me out at night. You want to put that pillow over my face. I sense it.
It's not so much when you're sleeping. It's like throughout the day, Christy can't stop coughing. And I'm that guy now that's turned into like, can you please stop coughing?
No, I know you can't. And it really, it's just that if either I talk too much or I go outside for a walk or whatever this pollen that's in the air,
man,
it's so drying.
Yeah.
And even in church this morning, we're filming this on Sunday night. Even in church this morning, it was a four cough drop service for me.
That's a tough one. You ever gone higher than four?
No, not in church. Yeah. I mean, not even when I'm sick do I do that, right? Yeah. So I was like, oh gosh, I just hate that. Because I think there's also this feeling that, heaven forbid you cough in public, people think the worst of you now.
Oh, no, now you are spreading some sort of communicable disease somewhere along the line.
I do not. Absolutely.
I think you should start wearing a mask just for everybody's benefit. I'm just throwing it out
there. No, I'm just going to keep Ricolas on. I should do an ad for Ricolas because I basically have thousands of them now in every bag I carry. So
yeah, you should honk the horn like they do on the Ricola ad. There's no doubt you're
thinking.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, okay, there is a lot going on. We were going to have a guest today, but then all these events started to spin out of control over the weekend. So we're going to talk about what's happening in the Middle East. And from a wider perspective, we'll have a variety of other stories too. One in New Mexico, a New Mexico news outlet asks, why aren't more illegal migrants settling in New Mexico, and they ruefully break down why that isn't happening, which is a very unusual story. We'll talk about that. Abortion is back in the news thanks to the Arizona Supreme Court. We'll talk about what that means. And then at the end of the show, we're going to have a special visit from Ava.
Right. We're going to talk. Me and Ava were cooking this up because we were talking a lot about there's all these slang terms that the kids use. The kids today.
The kids. Yeah.
They're using. Yeah. And okay. Ask it off your lawn, people don't know what they're saying, right?
So yeah, it's like a new language. Yeah.
I remember in my day, it was Valley Girl, right? So we spoke Valley Girl. And I'll never forget, my mom clipped an article out of the newspaper that told her what the things meant that I was saying.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is ridiculous, right, Mom? Like, you can't follow me.
Yeah.
And she had it like pinned up on her like little bulletin board.
So you go reference it when you're talking, like, oh my gosh.
it was totally
gross to the max. Yeah. Okay, now I know that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, and I did speak Valley. I think a lot of my peers did too. A lot of my age bracket did. You probably did not. I think your mom would probably slap that right out of you, honestly.
Yeah, like, there's no doubt.
Mark, there was you're none not of speaking Valley.
Yeah, no. Vermont, there was none of that going on.
No, we were closer to the West Coast, so we could get along away from Colorado. Anyway, but so we're going to have her on. We're going to talk a little slang, maybe give a little bit of an education to our parents who are listening out there, or grandparents who are listening. And it's just going to be some fun things that we'll talk to her about. So to lighten up the show at the end, because we have some heavy content. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about some of the comments we got.
Yeah.
We got a lot. So we have a lot packed in this show. Mark's packed in, like, I don't know, 100 stories today. So I've trimmed down my comments section for today.
All right.
Just to three. First one is from Ricardo Olvera.
Okay.
And he just says, best show in New Mexico.
Oh, man. Thanks, Ricardo.
And then Lola Da Vinci says, it's refreshing to see some sanity in New Mexico. I've been worried about an utter lack of it for a long while.
You know what? And when I was out a couple, three different times in the past day, someone stopped me and said, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm just somebody who wants some sanity. And I appreciate what you guys are doing because we try to be less, you know, about just, you know, ad hominem partisan attacks, which I don't think are helpful anyway. But there are so many of us, I think, that fall into the category of, hey, we just want things to work and to be, you know, something that we can all, you know, realize that this is the direction we need to be heading in.
Right.
And so I appreciate those. I really do. Cause the last thing, you know, there are plenty of issues on both sides where you can get people that just want to stoke the outrage machine.
Right.
But that to me is not helpful, first of all. And that's not how we solve real problems. And so that's cool. I love that email.
Well, and I actually got stopped a couple of times randomly in this weekend too. The first one, I have to tell you, random kind of short story here. I'll make it short, but I loaned a shirt to our daughter, Ella, right? She took it to school.
Yeah.
And it's not a fancy shirt.
This was, by the way, what she's about to tell you is in our family, we all just sit there and watch mom go crazy. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I did. I do lose my mind a little bit. I have my biggest pet peeve is when things aren't put back where they belong. Okay. Right. We all know that in the family. When I go to find something, I believe you just put it back where it belongs and then you never lose it. Right. So I loaned my shirt to our daughter and she wore it to school for a special thing. Now, this wasn't a fancy shirt. It's a simple black t-shirt. Okay. But it happens to be my favorite shirt on the planet. I wear it. I don't know. I've had it probably 6-7 years. I wear it at least a few times a month. Okay. At least. And she comes back from school. A couple days go by. I'm like, hey, can I get my shirt back? And she's like, yeah. I'm sure it's in my room somewhere. Can't find it. And so I'm like, well, did you check the lost and found at school? And she's like, oh, I haven't checked that yet. I'm sure I haven't. Well, I went to school for a meeting anyway. So I go in and I check the lost and found.
So you take matters into your own hands.
Hey, it's my favorite shirt. And I get that it's just a stupid t-shirt, but I love it. And the lady at the front desk of the school said, hey, no, sorry. I made all the donations last Friday. And I'm like, where'd you take them? She's like, to Savers. And I'm like the one by Corrales? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, thanks so much. So I make you take me to Corrales yesterday. I mean, I make you drop me off at Savers.
Yeah, you're
going to
go pick through what's on the racks at Savers.
I am. Well, I go in first because I'm thinking, how long does it take to process? And I ask the people, and I'm like, hey, how long does this take to process?
This is crazy.
I know, I understand. But if I could get this shirt back, I want it back, right? I don't mind paying for my shirt back, honestly. I love it so much. They don't make them anymore. That's the other thing. So anyway, I asked the front lady, I'm like, hey, how long does it take you guys to process donations? She goes, usually a day. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm like 5 days late now, but I'm going to check it anyway. So I got stopped by a couple of different people in there. One lady was just like, keep up what you guys are doing. I love just listening to you guys banter. And I also just appreciate you guys giving us news that we don't hear anyplace else. So I thought that was really nice. And then just a couple other, just really nice people out there that are paying attention and
you appreciate it. But but don't try to sweep over how crazy it is that your daughter borrows a shirt. She loses the shirt. You then hear that it's possible that it was donated to Savers. Mm-hmm. So then you find out the Savers. Mm-hmm. You then go look to go buy your own shirt back
dang right,
at Savers.
Well, listen, I also do flea market shopping for my job as a designer. So if you think I don't go looking for pieces of furniture and things like that in these shops anyway, I do. That's what I'm always on the hunt for that. So it's not that unusual for me to go in and have something specific in mind that I'm looking for, like frames or whatever.
Yeah.
So to go in there and like be on the hunt for my black Gap t-shirt.
She won't let it go. It's unreal. It is unreal. And we all roll our eyes because we're like, oh, mom is on the warpath again. Here we go. When anything is gone, flip-flops.
Yeah.
Where are my flip-flops? And then all of a sudden the accusation comes at everybody. Everybody's being accused. Okay. For different reasons. For different reasons. Ava, did you take them? We got about similar size shoes. You could have taken these. You could have walked around. You never know what's going on. And then for me, she's like, you throw everything away. You never know. You probably threw it in the trash.
You throw everything away. I know. And then
Ella, you never return anything that you give to me, no matter what happens here. So I bet you did it. Hey. All three of us get accused within 45 seconds. And then she just goes, well, who's going to admit it?
And the shoes end up being like under your bed.
Oh, I know.
And then
I know.
Don't apologize.
Every time.
It's just dead silence.
You guys are just making me out to be this.
Every time.
Okay,
let me just go ahead and line this up.
Let me line this up for every mom out there that wants to say this to their family. And either they don't say it because they're trying to be cool. Okay. And they're trying to be laid back and nice. Every mom on the planet out there, they want you to put your stuff away. Okay. Stop leaving it all over the house. And if you borrow something, like my car keys or anything else, put them back in my purse where they belong. So when I get in the car, my car starts. Those things. Like, it's just my hammer. My hammer is always missing. Okay. And I'm like, who had the hammer? It goes in the mom drawer. There's a mom drawer. It makes it very easy for everybody.
An incompetent police department that you just start accusing everybody in the family of everything with no evidence.
It's called investigating, Mark. And every mom out there they are backing me up. Ladies, please back me up on this one because I'm not the heavy. I don't care about most things, but when I'm looking for things that I don't want to go out and repurchase.
That's a straight up lie.
Yeah.
You don't care about most things.
Objection, Your Honor.
That's just not true.
Objection, Your Honor. That is a lie.
I feel like I'm outnumbered by three people who do not put things back where they belong.
No, we do.
No, you don't.
In fact, we have no involvement whatsoever. We're all innocent in this. And you just accuse us. You sully our names within the house. And then we're all looking at each other for answers while your accusations continue to fly.
Sowing discord in this family.
Very much so.
I'm going to ask you a straight up question. Okay.
All right.
And you have to solemnly swear to tell the truth.
I do. My arm is up.
Okay. I don't have a Bible here, but we're going to pretend that your word is
my bond.
Right.
It is.
Mark Ronchetti.
Yes.
Do you put things back where you find them?
More often than not, yes.
No, yes or right, no.
Let's move on.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get okay, to let's get to what's up. Oh, I'm
last
sorry.
Last one. I'm sorry. I wanted to give this last comment.
Okay. Sorry.
Army Dads, another great podcast. It's a huge step, slap in the face to the American people for what our whacked out government is doing. We pay high premiums for our health care and they give it away to illegals at our expense. We have veterans that can't get the care they need and deserve, and it infuriates me. Yeah. The border is another huge disaster along with our president. So thank you, Army Dad, for listening.
Thank you for your service, too.
Yeah, thank
your son's service. Anyway. Wow. Yeah. So, anyway. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what happened last night.
Yeah.
So this is yesterday evening. There was a lot of talk that Iran was going to attack Israel. Had never happened. Iran has never had a full-scale attack on Israel unprovoked, and it did on Saturday night. So the big headlines that came out of this were, one came from the New York Post, and the word makes sense, impenetrable. It was unbelievable the way this played out. So what ended up happening here was, and CNN broke this down. They had an article that broke down what Israel did and what the United States did along with Israel, and there were others involved as well, that helped make sure that this attack was not effective in any way. And I think it's staggering when you see how effective our technology was, along with the Israelis, at stopping this. So here's the CNN article breaking down exactly how this went down. And I think last night, Christy, as we were watching this, we didn't know the numbers and what the Iranians had tried to do.
Right. We were just watching it and trying to, I mean, it was just crazy. I'm sitting there watching reporters talking about this, and I'm like, they need to get out of there. Like, I don't know what's happening, but it seems like they're looking over their shoulders left
and right.
Sure,
they don't know, right?
And they don't really know, and I'm just thinking as a reporter out there, I hope they're safe. Like, that's really what was my initial thinking.
And that's the risk that they take, there's no doubt. And so the total numbers, I think, were shocking as they came out.
Right.
Because there were 300 total attacks in different ways. 170 drones came in, 30 cruise missiles, and 120 ballistic missiles were launched by Iran into Israel. In a call Sunday, Joe Biden told the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that it constituted a win for Israel, that nothing of value was hit. So 300 different projectiles of some sort,
right?
Come in. None of them hit, at least in any sort of direct way. U.S. officials said more than 70 drones and 3 ballistic missiles were intercepted by U.S. Navy ships or our military aircraft. That's an incredible amount of drones and the ballistic missiles at 120 or whatever. That's a huge number. So the IDF ended up putting out some video showing what this looked like. And it was unbelievable. And some of them you can tell are missiles, and then some are drones. This is a drone, I think, that what you're seeing there, and it just gets
annihilated.
And then you'll see here, that's a drone very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gets wiped out as well from some of their video that we're seeing here. There it goes, just pieces of it go flying everywhere. That's a missile.
Right.
And that looks like a cruise missile because of how low it's flying. And that gets blown up. And so they just put out some of this video. It's unbelievable.
Right.
But some of this, too, there's some specific work that the U.S. military did, especially with our Navy.
Right. Well, and it says here, so let's look at this number 8, Ava, because it says that our U.S. destroyers performed perfectly. A U.S. defense official has stated that all 3 of the Iranian medium-range ballistic missiles attempting to target an air base in southern Israel that were downed last night by the United States were intercepted by U.S. Navy missile destroyers in the Eastern Mediterranean utilizing their ballistic missile defense system.
Yep.
And basically they track and then they target those missiles. And my understanding is they were headed towards bases that had
some of the most advanced weapon systems that we have sold to Israel.
Yeah.
Like the F-35, right? That's like the crown jewel of their Air Force. And so that was a very big deal.
Right.
That was able to work the way it did.
Concerted effort by Americans and other military groups.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. The Brits were involved. Yeah, the French were involved. Yeah. The Jordanians. Jordanians mainly involved with stuff that was going over their airspace.
Right.
So the Jordanians said, you're not going to be firing missiles over our airspace. Like, that's not happening.
Right.
So they backed that off. And then you could see some of the stuff on CNN and on Fox News. There was video of pieces of missile that could end up, you know, hitting into Israel. You can see some pieces of these things. But as you can tell, this is not an intact missile going in most cases. So that was absolutely amazing. So the question is, now that we know what kind of work was done by the U.S. and by Israel and all of this, what happens next? And this gets to a broader point in the problem that, that Joe Biden has. So today, Sunday, Biden has stood up and told the Israelis, you should not strike back. Yes, there were, you know, more than 100 drones, more than 100 ballistic missiles were fired at you. If anybody ever did that to the United States of America, they would be flattened within a day. Okay. But Biden then says, look, we helped you defend yourself on this. Don't fire back.
Which is ridiculous to me.
It is crazy. So I want you to hear what John Bolton has to say about this. He's a long time, he's been involved with all
national security
for Trump. He's been, even before that, had roles in the Bush administration. He's a long time national security guy. Mm-hmm. So listen to what he says about Biden and the situation as it unfolds now and where we may go next.
Last night, the Iranians launched 320 plus cruise and ballistic missiles and drones. It's a blessing that the Israelis find only 1% got through. But not every night is going to be that good. And unless Iran sees a powerful response, that risk will continue. And the way to reestablish deterrence is not proportional. That's academic talk. The way you establish deterrence is by telling your adversary, if you ever try that again, the price you will pay will be so much higher than any gain you think you can get, you shouldn't even think about it. So I think Israel has a wide range of potential targets. You start by flattening Iran's air defense capabilities. Next, you might go after headquarters of the regular military and the Revolutionary Guard. You could consider going after their oil infrastructure, the oil fields, the distribution pipelines, the export port facilities. And most importantly, I think Israel should be looking at this as an opportunity to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program, which is the existential threat that Israel faces. I don't know what they'll do. I can't predict it. But I will tell you this. If Joe Biden, as some press reports have it, is urging the Israelis not to retaliate at all, he is an embarrassment to the United States. This is an American interest to make sure that Iran, which is the principal threat to international peace and security in the region, is at a minimum put in its place, to spare Israel, to spare the Gulf Arabs, to spare us from the threat that they pose.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And again, I just think Biden's doing this because it's an election year, right? So to me, it's like instead of giving out counsel or sound advice that's good for Israel, he's still looking at it, I think, what's in it for me? And what do I need to do here to appeal to the far left base, which I have offended on certain issues that I have? And where is he falling back? You know, he's getting heat on the border. He's trying to weigh that out. And then now you look at this response on this, and I'm thinking, why would he say that? If else it was because he needs to be reelected and he doesn't want to offend his base.
Well, that's the point, right? This is a political problem that Biden has had for a while. And this issue is a great one. Let's just take the Israel issue. It starts on October 7th. When the Israelis are attacked in a brutal fashion that I don't think we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And all of a sudden, Biden steps up, as he should, the right way and stands by Israel. And then Israel, over the intervening months, does what they need to do to protect their country. Biden gets softer and softer on it because he's getting pushback from his own party. So then he says, we have to have a ceasefire, and we're not going to worry anymore about any of the hostages. Ceasefire, 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 because of the pressure in his own party. Iran sees that and says, ah, we've got it. There is some space between these two. We can slide in between it. We're going to do something unprecedented, and we're going to attack Israel directly. They've never done it before. Had Biden not been weak, would that have ever happened? Likely it wouldn't have, but it did. And so we then help Israel in an incredible way stop those 300 projectiles from hitting Israel. And then instead of standing and staying by Israel, Biden then goes back again now and says, don't go back at them. Don't defend yourselves. Then that again is a wink and nod to his own party, which once again, if Israel took that advice, would put the whole region in danger once again, because Iran would take the wrong lesson. They would take the lesson that we can now attack Israel with them not attacking us.
Right.
Weakness always begets trouble in the Middle East, and Biden has to learn that, but he's fighting his own party to do it.
Well, and I think that this guy that we just had on, what's his, Bolton,
yeah,
he just said it very clearly that if you don't go back on the attack. All you're doing is waiting for them, for Iran to do it again.
Right.
And you're just saying, okay, well, I guess we'll try this again. It's like a, it's like a game to them or something. It's weird.
Well, but they are playing the long game, babe. Well, they're playing the long game. Their long game is, hey, if we now have this as an acceptable alternative, well, then we win.
Right.
We win.
We'll just keep firing things off until they hit something.
Right.
And then they may or may not retaliate. Like, there's no worry or fear. We've removed it from them. And well, I just think this is, I hope that somebody talks some sense into Biden on this and just either tells him to zip it or, you know, stop worrying so much about your own dang election. Like, I'm sorry.
And I also think it helps Biden. I really do. I think if Biden stands up and says, you cannot directly attack Israel and you will pay the price and we're back in Israel the whole way, I think that helps him in the election.
I do too. It doesn't hurt him. I think he's so worried about this far left that I don't.
That's crazy.
They have a, I know they have a lot of money and they have a lot of influence. They have a lot of say, but they are not the bulk of the country.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
I don't even think they are in his own party. And I do think it helps to stand up to him. But remember this much too. You still have Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis all striking at Israel daily.
Right.
Daily. And now the Iranians proper doing it in this respect. The Israelis have to answer. There's no doubt. And what you start to see, too, is during the 2020 election, one of the amazing things was Biden talked about the way Trump dealt with Iran. And he was concerned about something. Listen to what Biden says in the run-up to the 2020 election about Donald Trump and how he handles Iran.
And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right.
No, no, you weren't right. You are the guy now who is presiding over this. And I think it's because in the Middle East, there is one language that is understood by bullies like Iran, and that is strength. Mm-hmm. You can't, there cannot be a gap with the U.S. and Israel, or they'll try to slide into it. There cannot be a soft response to overt terror, and there definitely cannot be a soft response to a state-on-state attack that is completely unprecedented in the history of those two countries.
And I know this is a little bit of a sidebar, and I'm just going to throw this at you, but I was listening to this clip that was on Dr. Phil. Now has his own media show, right? So he can say kind of whatever he wants. And he basically had on these two women from a University of Michigan, I think, or Michigan State, something like that. And they were very, you know, we've got a ceasefire, pro-Palestinian type, la, la, la stuff. Kids are getting hurt, all the stuff, right?
Sure.
And then they had on as a response, at first, Dr. Phil annihilated those ladies talking about the October 7th situation, right, talking about that Hamas is a terrorism group. You know, you think that they're just, oh, we're going to stop and then we'll back off and they'll go away. That's not how it's played out. Then they had on the son of one of the founders of Hamas.
Right.
And he gets on there. He annihilates these ladies. He's like, number one, you don't understand what Hamas is after, what the end game is there. But let me tell you, since I was raised up in this, I know exactly what it is. And it's not only to annihilate Israel, it is to wipe out every single Jew. And that's what that group's whole focus is on. It's not going to back off. It doesn't want a two-state nation. It's going to annihilate the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but worldwide. That is their goal. That is their mission. That's the only reason they're there. And they honestly don't protect their own people in the process of trying to complete that goal. They believe that is their mission. And so this guy is like, you don't know what you're talking about. You can sit here and have pity for people. I understand that part of it, but you don't understand what we're dealing with here. And there is a reason that Israel cannot back off. And as anybody that's an expert on this, it would be a grown man now who is the son of one of the founders of Hamas.
Right.
He knows exactly what they're after. And I know this is different than Iran, but it's the same.
No, it is not, actually, because Iran, they provide all the weaponry.
Right.
All of it. And so that part of it is a huge deal. But don't forget one thing. This is, I think, incredibly important in all this. And that is nations like Jordan and Saudi Arabia and even to some degree Egypt, a lot of these majority Muslim nations around Israel do not like Iran. Like, there is a difference. It is not fair to say that Iran is part of the kind of the League of Nations of the Middle East. Many of these countries, they know Iran is a bad actor, and they want Israel to be successful, and they want peace in the area. That's why there's so many deals that are starting to be laid out between Israel and their neighbors, and it's critical. Now there are a lot of things in this that are very complex, clearly, but to think that Iran is representative of the Middle East writ large, it is not.
No.
And I think this attack shows how much cooperation there was from other countries in the region. There is very much support for peace for a lot of these countries. Iran's just not one of them, but a lot of their proxies aren't either, as you mentioned with Hamas.
Right, absolutely. Well, we'll have to keep our eyes on this. I'm sure more will unfold in the next couple of days, and we'll be back on our Thursday show to talk about that a little bit more. But
right, and this issue gets to an issue that I want to talk a little bit about. A latest New York Times poll came out, and they had one of the takeaway pieces of data from this is interesting. Take a look right here. They asked people to look back or look at and then look back. So look at the Biden administration. How many of or what percentage of Americans believes that it's been mostly good for America? And the Biden administration gets 25% of people that they asked said, yeah, he's been good for America, right? 27% said not really good or bad, just kind of in the middle there somewhere. And then mostly bad for America, 46%.
That's stunning. That's okay? Shocking.
That's a huge number.
Yeah.
46% is a huge number, especially when you look at Trump. Mostly good for America as they look back at the Trump administration. Again, when you get things like the border issues and the wars in the Middle East, which you did not have during the Trump administration, he's benefiting from that look back.
You also didn't have Russia and Ukraine fighting either during the
You didn't have those either. Now, would they have occurred during Trump? Who knows? But there's real reason to believe, and there's a track record with Trump that those things did not happen, right? And so mostly good for America, 42% of people said that Trump's administration was mostly good for America, 23% said not really good or bad. So you have kind of neutral or good at basically 65% with Trump, with bad being at 33%. That compares to Biden's bad at 46%.
Right.
So the thing that hurts Biden that is so rare in a presidential election is he's running against someone who had the job before him. So there's a direct apples to apples comparison. And the more issues we have like Saturday night, people go, this is chaos.
Yeah.
And so not that this is not going to be a close election. It is going to be close between these two if they're both the candidates. We'll see.
Right.
Especially on Biden's end. But we'll see how that shakes out. But the direct comparison, too, isn't just about Iran or the border. It's also about the economy.
Right. Which, I mean, if you look at this graph, this is inflation at the same point in presidency. So they're comparing what things cost when Trump was in office compared to Biden. Look at this list. Energy is up 38% under Biden. Gasoline expenses are up 47% under Biden. Electricity, 29%. Yeah. Keep going down. You got your grocery bills, 21% higher. Even just basic things. Eggs are almost 50% higher under Biden than under Trump. And then you go down to things like, you know, public transportation and airfare. Everything is high. Higher than it was under Trump.
And it's crushing. It crushes middle income and lower income families the most.
Right.
And so you hear from the elites who say, you know,
it's going good.
Just things are great.
Bidenomics are amazing.
That's amazing. And just for people who every day have to grind GDP, and go to the grocery store.
The GDP
store,
mark is
right.
Great, it's solid.
The employment numbers incredible.
Oh, and the employment numbers are through the roof. They're so high.
Look, but you look at the reality and that is rough. So you would see this and you'd see chaos in the world and you see what's happening with the economy and say, well, I mean, there's no way Biden wins. And as my old friend Lee Corso once said, not so fast, my friend. There is an issue that popped up this past week that Republicans are going to have to deal with again. It's one we had to deal with in the 2022 election. And here it comes on steroids out of Arizona.
That's right. There's what to know about the Arizona Supreme Court's reinstatement of an 1864 near total abortion ban.
Okay. So the Supreme Court in Arizona basically reinstates a law that says it bans abortion in Arizona.
Unless it's at the life of the mother.
Okay.
That's the one exception.
So there you go. And so Carrie Lake, running for Senate in Arizona, decides she's going to get out ahead of this thing. And Carrie Lake has said in the past, she's pro-life, strongly pro-life. Once again, not so fast, my friend. Apparently that changes. Here's the new Carrie Lake on abortion.
Private issue. I chose life. But I'm not every woman. I want to make sure that every woman who finds herself pregnant has more choices so that she can make that choice that I made. I'll never forget the first time I got pregnant, taking that pregnancy test, looking down, and I was excited, But I'll be honest, I was afraid as well. I was nervous. I was anxious. It's natural for women to be nervous and anxious when they're pregnant. I never would ever assume that any woman had the same exact feelings I had or situation I had. We know that some women are economically in a horrible situation. They might be in an abusive relationship.
Okay.
And blowback from the right came strong and fast.
Just to be clear, she's now pro-choice. That's a pro-choice position.
Yeah, very strong.
You know, and so she literally does a 180 on the issue. And there has been significant blowback.
Yeah, let's look at Matt Walsh's tweet. He said, if you want to argue that Republicans should avoid the abortion issue during an election, fine. I'm not sure I agree in all cases, but I understand the political tactic. But now we have Republicans coming out and explicitly denouncing pro-life laws while parroting Democrat pro-abortion talking points. This is not only a cowardly knife in the back to your base, but also political suicide. You can't win votes by being a watered-down Democrat. So
and so this is going to be fascinating. And it was also the Babylon Bee smoked Lake over this.
Oh,
I mean, they went back and forth. They went back and forth with her.
Let's just take a look at this little one. Carrie Lake announces plan to lose another election, but this time while supporting baby murder.
Yeah, they hit her hard.
Right between the eyes, right? Well, the thing is, though, is this is what she's trying to do, I think. I'm not saying she did it well. I'm not saying she did it well at all. I'm just saying she's trying to say, listen, I need to answer to this. I need to get it off the plate so we can focus on other things when I'm in the U.S. Senate.
Right.
That's what she's trying to do.
Right.
My issue with what she's doing, obviously, is flip-flopping right on the issue completely. Right. And then number two, I don't think she's answering the question. And I feel like that's the biggest concern I have is that, especially if anybody's running federally for a position right now, it is now become a state's issue thanks to the Supreme Court ruling back in 2022, right? So we all know that. That's what we lived through during the governor's campaign. It came back to the states.
Right.
And now why she felt like she had to jump in the middle of this nightmare and flip it around, I don't understand. I would love to show. I still believe that Nikki Haley, who is running for president or was running for president, gave the number one best answer on this issue because she gave facts. She gave facts. She was personal about it. She talked about how she was definitely pro-life personally, but there's just some black and white information that voters need to recognize.
Okay. Well, let's listen to that and then we'll react to it. Here's what Nikki Haley said during the presidential debates on the Republican side a few months ago.
This is talking about the fact that unelected justices didn't need to decide something this personal because it's personal for every woman and man. Now it's been put in the hands of the people. That's great. When it comes to a federal ban, let's be honest with the American people and say it will take 60 Senate votes. It will take a majority of the House. So in order to do that, let's find consensus. Can't we all agree that we should ban late-term abortions? Can't we all agree that we should encourage adoptions? Can't we all agree that doctors and nurses who don't believe in abortion shouldn't have to perform them? Can't we all agree that contraception should be available? And can't we all agree that we are not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion? Let's treat this like a respectful issue that it is and humanize the situation and stop demonizing.
Yeah, I mean, given she's a woman. So she does have an advantage there to speak about this subject.
Well, so is Carrie Lake, though.
I get it. I mean, Carrie Lake is trying to take something that we've never seen before, right? Which is she's just going to give up on this issue.
Yeah.
And she's giving up for two reasons, I think. She's giving up because she knows that she doesn't have if she gets elected, she has zero say at the federal level right now on this abortion issue. It's not going to even come up for a vote in the federal issue. And I don't know why people seem to think they want to keep harping on this during
Do because it's useful for one party to advance.
Oh, it's completely garbage, though. That's what I'm saying. Agreed. I hope voters are waking up and saying.
That's what just so people know, that's what Nikki Haley means by the 60 votes. To get a bill through the United States Senate, you would need 60 votes. Nobody has 60 votes on either side, whether it be to enshrine it into law or whether it be to ban it completely. Neither one's happening at the federal level. It cannot happen. The votes are not there. It's not even a real issue. But still
going to
get
used. Want to muddy the waters for voters and make them think it will. So there's just this like, let's drive some more fear about this and keep bringing this issue up because we don't want to talk about the border. We don't want to talk about the economy or anything else that we're failing at. Let's just keep focusing on this. So, I mean, Give your thoughts on the Carrie Lake situation.
Oh, I think she went too far. Some of my issues with Carrie Lake are that as a candidate, you know, you have people that have core values. I don't know what her core values are, quite frankly. And so I can't always tell that. But I think when you have a core value as someone who's pro-life, I think what you start to stand up and you can say is, look, there are areas where we agree. I agree with you on Nikki Haley's response in the respect that I think we can agree, especially a broad sector of the population totally agrees that late term abortion as a form of birth control
is
unacceptable. Right. And so those things, so you have to maximize some of those thoughts, but you also have your feelings that being pro-life is being pro-life. I mean, and so when you completely abandon that, you have an issue. But here's the biggest question is, can she do it? Will enough people, and you mentioned this, you talk about all these issues. We have border problems and we have problems in the Middle East and we have economy problems. We have all these other things. What Carrie Lake is involved in is an experiment to figure out, are there enough issues on the table that I can totally flip on the abortion issue, hold my base, grab some of the middle, and still win? And the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows right now. We'll have to kind of watch her. The thing that's infuriating to me, though, too, as I'm watching this play out on Twitter, right, is when our state leaders start chomping at the bit about that.
Of course.
Well, we're New Mexico. We will always protect, you know, women's rights and blah, blah, blah. And, but we're under attack. Don't kid yourself. New Mexico's under attack, too. No, you're not actually under attack, New Mexico, because you put into law up to birth abortion. That's into law. So I would sit here and they're going to try to hammer anybody that's running in our state. I don't care what you're running for now.
All three congressional seats will be hit with this. Nella Domenici is going to be hit with this on the Senate side, which is, again, this is what they're going to do instead of addressing real issues. And again, that's on the electorate, though, to understand and be like, okay, what are we really dealing with? What are the biggest issues that we have? And are these issues that they're saying are a huge problem for the state of New Mexico? Are they effectively making those up? And you're right. They are.
Yeah.
Candidates to point that out. And it's on the electorate, too. Hopefully, we as an electorate come around and realize what our real issues are.
Yeah. And we'll have to wait and see on that, too. But right. I would be like, this has been signed into law in the state of New Mexico. So move forward.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what I would do to remove some of that gasoline that the other side, the far left, is trying to douse everybody out with. You know, that's my thinking on it anyway.
Okay. Also on the pro-life side, it's important too to continue to bring people over to the pro-life side to say the law we currently have in the state of New Mexico is not reflective of our values.
No.
And we can't accept that as just the way it is permanently. And I think that's critical.
No, but I do think there has to be an education that is the law now.
It is.
And I feel like that's what people are missing. Like, they use it against you constantly. And I'm just like, you have to understand how laws are passed in this state. Right. And I still go back to that this is a legislative issue. And the legislators, you go talk to the legislators about it then, please.
Or win a legislative seats.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Okay.
So things can happen.
All right. So this story from KOB, this is unbelievable. Check out the headline from a KOB story from late last week. New data shows New Mexico is the only state with a drop in its foreign-born population. Many immigrants are reportedly choosing not to live in the state. And I don't quite understand. I think what they're finding out is that a good business environment, no matter what you think of it, if you don't have it, nobody wants to be there. Is that what they're saying? I don't know. Look at this story and just look at the quotes from this. It's staggering. So here they are. New data shows New Mexico is the only state with a drop in its foreign-born population. 9.2% of people in New Mexico were not born in America, compared to the U.S. average of more than 13%. The U.S. Census Bureau released the report earlier this week. I'm surprised, too, that we're the only state. That surprised me, New Mexico State University professor Chris Erickson said. Erickson studies the border and the economy, and he says the increase in migrants coming to the U.S. shows people believe there are worthwhile opportunities, but perhaps not in New Mexico. A primary driver of immigration is economic opportunity, Erickson said. New Mexico has not done well since the Great Recession, since 2008. We have relatively low per capita income, jobs are relatively low paying, and there aren't abundant jobs. So then the reporter, Tommy Lopez, comes back and says, is there an issue with New Mexico's reputation when migrants think about where to stay? But by the way, are they asking for more people to stress the system here in a broken border? And are we lamenting that? Is that what's happening here?
This is the weirdest story to me.
So then Chris Erickson says, I think there is. And New Mexico, unfortunately, developed a reputation as not being particularly business friendly. I think that reputation is not fair. Is Channel 4's story really, hey, we need more people to settle here in a state where when you go to get a doctor's appointment, it takes 6 months. In a state where our average income is $30,000 a year, we're trying to lift more people up, and yet they're lamenting the fact that people aren't staying here. It's a wild story.
It's a weird story. I'm like, honestly, this is the dumbest story I've ever seen in my life.
I found it shocking. So there's no doubt.
Why don't you just cover immigration, cover the border issue, cover our crime issues, and they can't do that. They're trying to find let's do a border story, but let's make it somewhat softer. That's what it felt like to me reading it. It wasn't a direct hit. Anyway.
It's ridiculous. All right. One more story here before we get to the kids and the proper.
Oh, yeah. The slang's coming.
The slang.
Yeah.
All right. NAIA. NAIA is the governing body for small schools athletically. Right. So NAIA schools tend to be these smaller schools. And you get some professional athletes to come out of NAIA and all sort of stuff like that. But they're basically the smaller version of the NCAA. Mm-hmm. OK. And they have stood up in this past week. Essentially, they've banned transgender athletes from women's sports. So the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, the governing body for the mostly small colleges, announced a policy that says basically transgender athletes cannot compete in women's sports. NAIA Council of Presidents approved the policy by a 20-0 vote. The NAIA, which oversees some 83,000 athletes at schools across the country, is believed to be the first college sports organization to take such a step. So there you go.
Well, I think that's great news just to try to keep some speed of sanity, trying to bring sanity back to women's sports, right? It's still, I feel like we have a long ways to go still here. I don't know if it's ever going to turn its back. I feel like right now, Canada and U.S. are kind of like on this island on this issue.
We're behind.
Everybody else has kind of changed their tune now and realized this is maddening. This is not healthy. This is not an accurate depiction of way women's sports or anything else should be in this whole movement of with kids trying to be whatever they want to be kind of thing.
Right.
It feels like we're the last ones to wake up on this issue again. But I'm proud of these guys for at least making a stance on this. And it will be interesting to see if the bigger colleges follow suit.
Right. And it was, we were at a track meet yesterday. But all the big APS schools were there. Yeah. All this, some
from
smaller
E, it was
schools.
My track meet.
It was Ava's track meet.
I'm on track now, everybody.
Yes, yeah. She's track
lets
now.
Everybody
That's
know
good
that
job.
She is.
They cannot get rid of me. I just keep playing sports that I've never played before.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fantastic.
As a junior.
But despite Ava's incredible efforts,
it was terrible.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
But what was interesting, I mean, you just watch, and there are great female athletes and there are great male athletes, but you watch back to back events
and they're nothing.
And it's just not fair.
It's crystal clear. Yeah. These are like 5A, 6A teams.
And there were some incredible performances by girls. Like the girl won the 1600 it was great. I mean, you watch the sprints. It was cool.
But let's keep in mind, they do the girls hurdles first.
Yeah.
Right. And that looks scary to me. I'm watching. Yeah. We're really close to the track. So we're watching. I'm like, oh my gosh, these poor girls, please don't fall. Please don't fall. Please. It's hard to watch. They get through, they whip through it. They are all great. They do an amazing job.
Right.
Then it's the boys' turn.
Yep.
And they go over and they raise those hurdles up.
And they
right?
add hurdles.
They add them.
Yep.
So there's more hurdles. Yep. They're closer together and they're raised up.
Yep.
It's just so apparently obvious that they have to change the stakes because the body is built differently.
Yep.
Their gait is different. Their strength is different.
Absolutely.
How high they can jump is different. That to me was like such a black and white example yesterday, just watching it right in our face.
Yeah, you watch it. Yeah, it's just not fair. It's not fair to women. It's not fair to women.
If a boy decided to run in the girls, category that had been running in boys' hurdles, it would be easier for them.
Oh gosh,
they would have such an advantage. Yeah. So I'm sorry,
and good for the NAIA. Yeah. I think the NCAA will eventually follow
suit
as well.
They better get there. Holy cow!
We'll see what happens. Anyway. All right.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Let's bring Ava back.
Okay.
We're going to put her on the desk over here.
Beautiful.
And we're going to do a little quizzes. So stay with us for some teen slang that you may want to know about for your kids and your grandkids.
You're listening to the No Doubt About It podcast. Back to your hosts, Christy and Mark Ronchetti.
Okay. So now is our fun segment. I wish we could name this something. Maybe Ava, you can think of something creative. Ava Ronchetti joining us at the table.
Hello.
Welcome, Ava.
Glad to be back. It's been a while, actually.
It has been a while.
It's been like 6 or 7 months since I've been here.
Okay.
Whoa.
Why are you guys ignoring me?
No, we're really, I promise you, we're not trying to ignore
I'm
you.
A fan favorite.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
I make your money.
Okay.
Anyway. Listen, I don't know about a fan favorite. We'll see what happens with the segment.
We'll see what happens here. Yeah. We might bring you back. Okay. Okay. So we're going to quiz you on a couple things that we're researching.
Okay.
Okay. That came across to me.
Okay.
And we're going to see if you can tell us, you can explain to our listeners what they mean.
Okay. So what is this?
So these are new things that we don't know.
Correct.
And that she's supposed to know?
Yeah.
Like slang words or what?
It's teen slang. It's just called teen slang.
Got it.
Okay. And so I want to see if we can educate our listeners on the teen slang.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So, and maybe you could use it in a sentence if you need to.
Sure.
Okay. The first one is Roman Empire.
Okay. So this one started on TikTok. Basically this thing with men, apparently. Dad, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Never.
Okay. Well, every other man apparently thinks about it constantly. It's like,
I think teen boys think about
this, I texted a boy from my class, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? He's like, once every week. I'm like, all right, I get it. I think about the Roman Empire quite a bit. That's super interesting. So, but your Roman Empire is what you think about all the time. Like my Roman Empire is, World War II sometimes.
Okay.
I think about World War II all the time.
Okay.
My Roman Empire can be like,
so my Roman
Marilyn Empire, Monroe. I think about Marilyn Monroe being married to Arthur Miller, the playwright, all the time. That's so my Roman Empire.
So use Roman Empire. So use that in a sentence for us.
Yeah. My Roman Empire is how Taylor Swift is dating some big buffoon named Travis Kelce. Meaning I think about this thing all the time and I ponder it and I try and figure out what it means and why it's so interesting.
Okay. All right.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Let's move on.
So my Roman Empire is who the Cowboys going to draft for their offensive tackle and center.
Generally, Roman Empire tends to be something negative you think about in like sad reflection.
Oh, really?
Like, my Roman Empire is how
the Dallas Cowboys have not made a Super Bowl in 100
27
years.
There you go. Years, yeah.
That's one. All right. Okay. That's a good one. Next word. Chuggy.
This is not a Gen Z thing. This is millennials. They tried to do this. They tried to be cool and hip with us and come up with their own word.
Oh.
And nobody uses it because it sucks.
Oh, but what does it actually mean?
Chuggy means cringy.
Okay,
Chuggy's like, oh, that's... Ugh. Like that's outdated. That's annoying. That's weird. That's gross.
Okay. You read this next one because we laughed so hard when I read this out loud.
Okay. The term is ate and left no crumbs.
Right.
What does that mean?
So here's what it means in a full sentence, actually kind of a group of slang words. There's you cooked, ate and left no crumbs.
Okay.
So to cook is to do something well.
Okay.
To eat is to present something well. So like people, runway models who do a really good job, like on the runway, you'd be like, oh, she ate. Like, she did so good. She looks awesome.
Right.
Okay. Is that kind of thing. Left no crumbs is, like, flawless. Like, that was perfect.
Like,
sometimes in theater, I heard someone say this to me. She's like, you ate and left no crumbs.
Right.
Meaning, you did so great. I have no complaints.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So I expect to hear that one coming out of your mouth, Mark, to me at some point soon.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
totally.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And your depiction of me is usually I'm just covered in crumbs. Yeah, so we're good.
Okay, this one... Ick or the ick?
The ick is when you no longer like a guy because he does something that makes you lose all your feelings for him.
Oh.
So you're on a date with somebody.
Els, you can put up the text if you want. Els, are you familiar with this as well?
Let's hear what Ella. I feel like Ella has said the ick. I've heard her say this.
I do say it because I feel like people get it like if they like a guy a lot, but then like he doesn't say like thank you to the waiter or something, then they'll be like, oh, I got the ick. And then they stop liking it forever.
Or it can be really minor.
So it's something that somebody does that turns you away from them. You're kind of
Right. So like, I got the ick. Or he's kind of icky. Like you'll stop liking them because of like one big or small thing.
I like that you put a the.
So that's the end of it though. Once you get the ick, it's
over.
You're done.
You're done.
The ick is done. Like,
for me, when
I get
the ick
from a guy who plays the music too loud in his car, I'm like, ick. Like I don't, that's stupid.
Okay.
Or it can be like, if you don't like him anymore, it's a bigger deal, but you don't use the ick for that.
Well, do you use the ick as an excuse because you just don't like him?
It's
anymore.
What makes you stop liking
him. It makes
him
you
is
stop
the
liking
ick.
Him. So like, let's say you think a guy is cute and then he's just like, I don't know, like annoying, or he does something
or
he chews
with his mouth open.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I could
or
see
like
that.
He smacks his gum or...
Oh. Yeah.
So these
he
are
walks
minor
like
things.
A duck.
He's got the, he gives
so
you the
your
ick.
Minor. So when Ella, when you would say, ugh, he gives me the ick, can he redeem himself?
No.
Well, for me, no. But for other people, no. But for other people, no. Probably.
Because okay. The ick is kind of it. It's done. Okay.
Yeah, once no you get the ick, you're done. You're done. Okay.
All right. So we're actually going to do just last one. We're going to skip the very last one because Ava kind of explained it. But girl math.
I hate this term so much. These women on TikTok have gotten into the habit of calling themselves stupid because they think it makes them more attractive, and it doesn't. So girl math is like, I'm just a girl. The only math I know is how many calories are in this. Or like girl math, if I got $5 off on a t-shirt that's $5, the shirt's free. Or like girl math, it's like it's stupid. It's stupid.
Okay, so it's kind of plain.
I don't like it. I don't like it, but I actually saw this really smart one where this girl was trying to figure out how tall this guy was in a picture. Uh-huh. And there was a girl next to him that had a certain purse. So she figured out the height of the purse and stacked all the purses together to figure out how tall he actually
that's
was.
That's really
and
that's
she called
good.
It girl math.
Right. Okay, like, that's actually funny. I think that's funny.
Interesting. Like,
it was
okay.
Really smart.
Okay, all right. Okay. So now we're going to flip this now. So okay. Ava's.
So now it's your turn.
Yeah, so we discovered this thing in church today. One of the pastors referred to a Gen Z Bible, right, Ella? And read some scriptures out loud, and we were laughing so hard. So Ava is going to give us some verses.
So these ones I've actually translated by myself.
Oh.
Because I couldn't find a real Gen Z Bible translation, because that would be a total waste of time.
They're on Amazon for $12.
But, so here's what
Gen Z Bibles are?
Yeah, Gen Z Bibles. Yeah.
Here's how this is going to work. Okay. I'm going to read the verse to you in Gen Z slang. You don't have to know the verse, but you got to know roughly what I'm actually saying, and then I'll tell you if you were right or wrong.
All right, go.
Okay? All right.
Here we go.
Yep.
Quote, I'm him. No one gets a W from the Father except through my eternal sleigh.
So obviously, no one, I am the way, the truth, and the light.
Like, right. No one gets the Father except through
that's
me.
That's John 14:6. Good.
Okay. Okay.
Good. All right. Now,
you can leave it up a little longer.
Yeah,
else if you
and
want.
You could actually make it bigger for people like me. Yeah. That can't
but
read.
You aren't allowed to look at it.
Oh, I right. Look we at won't look. We're at not it. Cheating.
All right. No. There we go.
We're okay.
The Lord is my G. He carries.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not.
Psalm 23, verse 1.
Okay.
All right. Slay because W Jesus Christ.
Slay.
Whoa.
Slay.
Slay because
I am Jesus Christ.
W Jesus Christ.
W. So W means win. Right. I learned that today.
Because the pastor said, how do you turn L's into dubs?
Yeah.
And then he taught about like, yeah, that was.
Yeah. He was, Nate Herzog gave this whole speech on how you turn your L's into dubs.
Which that is means a win. Get rid of the ops. And
don't worry.
The
we
chat.
Have more of those coming up.
Okay. So what is it?
So what is it?
It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay. All right.
Slay because Slay. W Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. Got it.
All right. Here's our next one. W to the broke G's, for they got stacks in heaven. This is a beatitude.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So that would be, yes, the meek shall inherit the earth.
No.
Basically. No, what?
Oh.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean,
we have another one of those coming up.
Oh, okay, sorry. I grabbed the wrong one. You're right. Okay.
All right, here's our next one. W to those who take L's, for they shall take W's.
That's the meek shall inherit.
No. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Okay, so mourn is the
it's taking an L. You're mourning.
Oh, taking an
Except
L.
Except I guess you wouldn't probably say that because if someone was mourning like the loss of another person, you wouldn't be like L.
I would.
What would you say if you were mourning somebody?
You'd say, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Oh, okay.
But
good.
Unless
Thank
they're
goodness.
Like a homie and then they like kill an aunt and they're sad over it, then you should be like, that's an L.
That's an L.
And then you walk
or
away.
Or like you get a bad grade, L.
If it's a
I
grandma,
don't feel bad for you. That sucks.
If it's a grandma though, like that like dies, you probably shouldn't
say like
L. I don't
even know
what's
happening right now.
I know. You feel like you're losing control
of
your own
chart. Yeah, I totally am.
We got our last Bible verse and then I have some words for you.
Okay. Let's hurry up.
All right, here we go. W to those who don't throw hands, for they shall secure the eternal bag.
That's your verse.
You think so?
Meek inherit the earth. Yeah, because
that is
the
right.
Meek are people that don't fight. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. True.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Wow.
Eternal bag.
Okay. Wow. That's funny.
That's actually really funny. Okay. What else funny. You got? You got something else? You said.
Thing about TikTok is they censor a lot of words, so people will make modifications when they're talking about things like true crime. For example, you can't say like suicide on TikTok; you'll get taken down. So I have some words here that are censored versions of popular terms on TikTok. You're going to tell me what you think they mean.
Okay.
First one is unalived.
Killed.
Yeah, dead.
Yeah.
Next one would be pew-pew. This is so bad.
Guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when we were Charlie's Angels as a kid, we'd go pew-pew.
Okay, wow.
Pew,
okay, yeah, yeah.
And then here are a couple more that aren't censors. They're just interesting terms that I think you should know about. Standing on business. Can you tell me what you think this means?
I love this term.
You do?
Business. No.
Can you use it in a sentence, please? Can I get a sentence, please?
Well, no, that won't matter.
He's totally standing on business. Homie Principal. Stood on business.
Principal?
I'm standing on business.
Yeah. Or like homie's defending his beliefs. Okay. He's not changing his mind.
Yeah. Standing on business? Yeah. Standing on business is when you're getting it done. You're doing it well.
Oh. Yeah.
Standing you're on business. Standing for so like if you were to say like, oh, I worked out and did all my homework and got a good night's sleep, that means I'm standing on business because I'm doing
okay.
it well.
Okay. All
right. That's what that means.
Three more.
Okay.
Or two more. Sorry. Chat.
Talk.
No.
No.
Online banter.
Chat is a noun.
Chat is a noun?
Ooh, interesting.
A proper texting. Noun, maybe.
Texting.
That's no. a verb.
No.
I don't know. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I wouldn't know the difference.
I'll give it to you in a sentence. I'll give it to you in a sentence.
Action word. Nice work. Person, place, or thing.
No.
Chat, is this real?
That's what I was going to say.
What?
That's what I was going to say.
Chat, is this real? Chat, is this real?
I don't understand.
Meaning guys. Chat is guys. Chat.
Chat means y'all.
Chat, is he lying? You say that out loud.
Like, oh, like you want to put together a chat?
No. Like you're no. It's like saying you guys, or it's like saying
y'all
guys.
So chat. Y'all,
yeah.
Like but it's y'all like, means chat,
right?
Basically, okay. That's what.
But you don't say that to a real group of people. So you say that to a hypothetical crowd, to
or you would say it online. It's them. More of an online thing. I've never heard somebody say chat in real life, but it's more of like in a group setting.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you guys should bring back y'all because I like y'all better than chat.
Okay.
All right. Last one.
All right. Last one is It Girl.
It Girl.
That's somebody's popular?
Yeah. Like she's the It Girl. But. Yeah.
What does it really mean?
That's what it means.
Like okay. that she's but kind of popular and like.
What's happening?
She's doing good things.
Yeah. Like.
Or whatever.
It's a positive. She's cool.
However, It Girl reminded me so much of Girl Math because it comes across as it's like a. Like someone can be an it girl if she's really like pretending to be stupid, but she's attractive.
No,
it's
it
super
girls
annoying.
Are also
it's another
people
term
that
for
are
bimbo.
Like attractive and chill and like, mom, if you were like, if I wanted to compliment you, mm-hmm. I would be like, oh, you're an it girl because you're
doing a good job.
You're doing great. You know, you're doing good things.
You're cool. We like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Well, now we know. I feel like we're either a little bit dumber or we've enlightened everybody with some stuff. I just think maybe we should get the Gen Z Bible that's on Amazon for $12 and play like a comparison game with the girl. Like they can read it out loud and we'll see how much scripture we can recall at the same time.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently I couldn't place anything there, but that's all right. All right. Well, good stuff, guys.
Well,
thanks,
thank you
Age.
So much.
Thanks,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, okay, we'll be back with you on Thursday. Special show. I don't want to get into it, but it's going to be special.
Okay, let's not get into it then.
All right, we won't get into it, but we'll see you back here on Thursday.
You've been listening to the No Doubt About It podcast. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at No Doubt About It podcast.
No Doubt About It.
The No Doubt About It podcast is a Choose Adventure Media production. See you next time on No Doubt About It.
There is no doubt about it.